Chapter 7. The Trap. From the corridor a faint sound grew louder. Terran hastened to press his ear against the slot in the portal. He heard the heavy tread of marching feet, the rattle of weapons. He straightened and stood with his back to the wall. The girl had betrayed him! He cast about for some means to defend himself, for he had determined that he would not take him easily. For the sake of having something in his hands, Terran picked up the dirty straw and held it ready to fling. It was a pitiable defense, and he wished desperately for Gwydion's power to set it ablaze. Footsteps continued. He feared, then, they would enter the other cell. He breathed a sigh of release when they did not stop, but faded away toward what he imagined to be the far end of the corridor. Perhaps the guard was being changed. He turned away. Certainly Ellenwy would not be back, and furious with her and her false promises. She was a rattle-brained fool who would undoubtedly giggle and take it as a great joke when the Cauldronborn came for him. He buried his face in his hands. He could hear her chatter even now. Terran started up again. The voice she heard was real.
"Must you always sit on the wrong stone?"
It was.
"You're too heavy to lift."
Terran jumped up and hurriedly cleared the straw away. The flagstone was raised. The light from the golden ball was dim now, but enough for him to see that Ellenwy looked pleased with herself.
"Your companion is free," she whispered. "And I took Melengar from the stable. They are hid in the woods outside the castle. It's all done now," Ellenwy said gleefully. "They're waiting for you. So if you get a move on and stop looking as if you'd forgotten your own name, we can go and meet them."
"Did you find weapons?" Terran asked.
"Well, no, I didn't really have a chance to look," Ellenwy said.
"Really," she added, "you can't expect me to do everything now, can you?" Ellenwy held the glowing sphere close to the stone floor.
"Go first," she said. "Then I'll come down after, so I can put the stone back in place. Then, when Akrin sends to have you killed, there won't be any trace of you at all. She'll think you disappeared into thin air, and that will make it all the more vexing." "I know it isn't nice to vex people on purpose. It's like handing them a toad. But this is too much to miss, and I may never get another chance at it."
"Akrin will know you let us escape," Terran said.
"No, she won't," said Ellenwy, "because she'll think I'm still locked up. And if she doesn't know I can get out, she can't know I was here. But it's very thoughtful of you to say that. It shows a kind heart, and I think it's much more important than being clever."
While Ellenwy continued to chatter away, Terran lowered himself into the narrow opening. The passage was low, he discovered, and he was obliged to crouch, almost on hands and knees. Ellenwy moved the stone in place, and then began to lead the way. The glow from the sphere showed walls of hard-packed earth. As Terran hunched along, other galleries opened up on either side.
"Be sure you follow me," Ellenwy cried.
"Don't go into any of those. Some of them branch off, and some of them don't go anywhere at all. You'd get lost, and that would be a useless thing to do if you're trying to escape." The girl moved so quickly Terran had difficulty keeping up with her. Twice he stumbled over loose stones in the passage, clutched at the ground, and pitched forward. The little light bobbed ahead, while behind him long fingers of darkness grasped at his heels. He could understand why Akrin's fortress was called Spiral Castle. The narrow, stifling galleries turned endlessly. He could not be sure whether they were making real progress itself, or whether the tunnel was merely doubling back on itself. The earth and ceiling trembled with racing footsteps.
"We're just below the guard room," Ellenwy whispered. "Something's happening up there. Akrin doesn't usually turn out the guard in the middle of the night."
"They must have gone to the cells," Terran said. "There was a lot of commotion just before you came. They surely know we're gone."
"You must be a very important assistant pig keeper," Ellenwy said with a small laugh. "Akrin won't go to all that trouble unless..."
"Hurry," Terran urged. "If she puts a guard around the castle, we'll never get out."
"Oh, I wish you'd stop worrying," Ellenwy said. "You sound as if you are having your toes twisted. Akrin can set out all the guards she wants. She doesn't know where the mouth of the tunnel is, and it's hidden so well an owl couldn't see it. After all, you don't think I'd march you out to the front gate, do you?"
Despite her chattering, Ellenwy kept a rapid pace. Terran bent close to the ground, moving half by touch, keeping his eyes on the faint glow. He skidded past sharp turns, fetched up against rough walls, skinned his knees, and then had to move twice as fast to regain the ground he'd lost. Another bend of passageway, Ellenwy's light wavered and dropped out of sight. In a moment of darkness, Terran lost his footing as the ground rose steeply on one side, and he fell and rolled. Before he could recover his balance, he was sliding rapidly down in a shower of loose stones and earth. He collided with an outcropping of rock, rolled again, and dropped suddenly into darkness. He landed heavily on flat stones, legs twisted under him. Terran climbed painfully to his feet and shook his head to clear it. Suddenly he realized he was standing upright. Ellenwy and her light could not be seen. He called as loudly as he dared.
After a few moments, he heard a scraping above him and saw the faint reflection of the golden ball.
"Where are you?" called the girl.
Her voice seemed quite distant. "Oh, I see. Part of the tunnel's given way. You must have slipped into a crevice."
"It's not a crevice," Terran called. "I've fallen all the way down into something, and it's deep. Can't you put the light into it? I've got to get up again."
There are more scraping noises.
"Yes," Elenry said. "You have got yourself into a mess. The ground's all broken through here, and below there's a big stone, like a shelf over your head. How did you ever manage to do that?"
"I don't know," replied Terran, "but I certainly didn't do it on purpose."
"Strange," Elenry said. "This wasn't here when I came through the first time. All that tramping must have jarred something loose. It's hard to say. I don't think these tunnels are as half as solid as they look, and neither is the castle, for that matter. Akron's always complaining about things leaking and doors not closing right."
"Do stop that prattling," cried Terran, clasping his head. "I don't want to hear about leaks and doors. Show a light so I can climb out of here."
"Well, there's the trouble," the girl said. "I'm not quite sure you can. You see, the shelf of stone juts out so far and goes down so steeply. Can you manage to reach it?"
Terran raised his arms and jumped as high as he could. He could find no handhold. From Elenry's description and from the massive shadow above, he feared the girl was right. He could not reach the stone, and even if he could have, its sharp downward pitch would have made it impossible to climb. Terran groaned with despair.
"Go on without me," he said. "Warn my companion the castle is alerted." "And what do you intend to do? You can't just sit there like a fly in a jug. This isn't going to help matters at all."
"It doesn't make any difference about me," Terran said. "You can find a rope and come back when things are safe."
"Well, who knows when that will be? If Akron sees me, there's no telling what might happen. And suppose I couldn't get back? You'd turn into a skeleton while you were waiting. I don't know how long it takes for people to turn into skeletons, although I imagine it would need some time, and you'd be worse off than before."
"Then what else am I to do?" cried Terran. Elenry's talk of skeletons made his blood run cold. He recalled, then, the sound of Gwyn the Hunter's horn, and the memory of it filled him with grief and fear. He bowed his head and turned to face the rough wall.
"That's very noble of you," said Elenry, "but I don't think it's really necessary. Not yet, at any rate. If Akron's warriors come out and start beating the woods, I hardly think your friend would stay around waiting. He'd go and hide and find you later, or so I imagine. That would be the sensible thing to do. Of course, if he's an assistant pig-keeper, too, it's hard to guess how his mind would work."
"He's not an assistant pig-keeper," Terran said. "He's... well, that's none of your business. That's what he is."
"Well, that's not a very polite thing to say. Well, nevertheless..."
Elenry's voice dismissed the matter.
"The main thing is to get you out."
"There's nothing we can do," Terran said. "I'm caught here and locked up better than Akron ever planned."
"Well, don't say that. I could tear up my robe and place it into a cord. Well, I'll tell you right away, I wouldn't enjoy crawling around the tunnels without any clothes on. But I don't think it would be long enough or strong enough. I suppose I could cut off my hair, and if I had a pair of shears, add it in. No, that still wouldn't do.
Won't you please be quiet for a while and let me think?
Wait! I'm going to drop my bauble down to you. Here, catch!"
The golden sphere came hurtling over the ledge. Terran caught it in midair.
"Now then, what's down there?" Elenry called. "Is it just a pit of some kind?"
Terran raised the ball above his head.
"Why, it's no hole at all," he cried. "It's a kind of chamber. And there's a tunnel here, too. I can't see where it ends. It's big."
Stones rattled behind him. An instant later, Elenry dropped to the ground. He stared at her in disbelief.
"You fool!" he shouted. "You addle-pated! What have you done? Now both of us are trapped! And you talk about sense! You haven't..."
Elenry smiled at him and waited until he ran out of breath.
"Now," she said, "if you've quite finished, let me explain something very simple to you. If there is a tunnel, it has to go someplace, and wherever it goes, there's a very good chance it will be better than where we are now."
I didn't mean to call you names," Terran said. He added sorrowfully, "there was no reason for you to put yourself in danger."
"There you go again," Elenry said. "I promised I would help you escape, and that's what I'm doing. I understand about tunnels, and I shouldn't be surprised if this one followed the same direction as the one above. It doesn't have half as many galleries coming off of it. And besides, it's a lot more comfortable."
Ellenly took the glowing sphere from Terran's hand and stepped forward into the new passageway. Still doubtful, Terran followed.